ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 21, translation and commentary by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tasmad gurung prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam shabde pareta nishnatam brahmanyu pashumashrayam. Translation. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. This verse begins with the word tasmat, which means therefore, and therefore is also the first word given in the English rendition of this verse. Therefore, we have to see previous few verses to understand this verse fully in context. I'll read the English translation of the previous few verses. This chapter has been entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. So the subject is how to be free from the illusory energy. And how is that done? Particularly just four verses prior to this, the question comes. King Nimi said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. Sri Prabuddha said, Prabuddha first of all describes the situation in material existence. In a nutshell, he gives the situation in material existence. And in respect to the situation of material existence, the word therefore comes. So this is the situation. Accepting the roles of male and female in human society, the conditioned souls unite in sexual relationships. Thus they constantly make material endeavors to eliminate their unhappiness and unlimitedly increase their pleasure. But one should see that they inevitably achieve exactly the opposite result. In other words, their happiness inevitably vanishes, and as they grow older, their material discomfort increases. Going on to text 19, I'm not going to read all the purports here just now. Then, wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is most difficult to acquire, and it is virtual death for the soul. You were saying, Gopal, quoting Shankara from this, more or less the same thing. Artha is anartha. Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one's so-called home, children, relatives, and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? One cannot find permanent happiness even on the heavenly planets, which one can attain in the next life by ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Even in material heaven, the living entity is disturbed by rivalry with his equals and envy of those superior to him. And since one's residence in heaven is finished with the exhaustion of pious fruitive activities, the denizens of heaven are afflicted by fear, anticipating the destruction of their heavenly life. Thus they resemble kings who, though enviously admired by ordinary citizens, are constantly harassed by enemy kings, and who therefore never attain actual happiness. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So, in a nutshell, one should approach a guru to become happy. That's the essence of it. However, in the verse after this, the disciples should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity. Very big topics. This is from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is among the followers of Srila Prabhupada some, some disdain for the BBT edition of the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, considering that it's not directly given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It was given to us by BBT team. The core team was Gopi Purandanda Prabhu, Hridayananda Goswami, and Dravida Prabhu. So, according to some, it can't be bona fide because it's not directly the words of Srila Prabhupada, which to me seems like some fanaticism, that the idea that only Srila Prabhupada can translate shastras, only Srila Prabhupada can write books, it defeats the whole purpose of Srila. The idea, if it's true, defeats the whole purpose of Srila Prabhupada coming to this world, which is to raise people up to the level of devotees and brahmanas and gurus. So I'm going to read from the purport, and you may say, well, it's all my conditions. Well, even if you don't think like that, it's mostly, most of the comments herein are directly derived from the commentaries of the acharyas, previous acharyas. So it's a great treasure, great mine of spiritual knowledge and spiritual direction. And to deprive ourselves and others of this because it's not directly translated by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, it was translated and published on his order. So it's very, to me, seems like very strange ideas. Much to be gained from studying this 11th canto, especially. So much important instruction is here. So I'll read the purport now to this verse, the purport that was given. And you yourself can see that this is not some, in India I'd say, cine blitz, some stupid tinsel magazine. There must be so many equivalents in America. Any names? National Enquirer. Okay, this is not National Enquirer. This is serious. This is substantial. So the purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word Shabde refers to the Vedic literature and Pare refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The bona fide spiritual master must be Nishnatam, deeply experienced in authorized Vedic literatures and in practical understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, there is a party who deem it to be impossible that anyone after Srila Prabhupada could be deeply experienced in authorized Vedic literatures and in practical understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. which, if we go by that philosophy, then we can just cut out a lot of what's in the Shastra. I sometimes thought of one way we could really increase our Srimad Bhagavatam sales, make them much cheaper. There's one very good way to do that. Just cut out all the heavy and non-politically correct statements, and there'll be almost nothing left. And you can sell them very easily and cheaply. But then there wouldn't be any, it wouldn't be Srimad Bhagavatam, and it wouldn't serve the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the bona fide spiritual master must be nishnatam, deeply experienced in authorized Vedic literatures and in practical understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who wrote that? Who wrote this? I'm reading the purport. It's coming from Sridhar Swami, but it's the translations were done by Gopi Parinidhana Prabhu. Hridayananda Maharaj took it, fluffed it out, and Dravida Prabhu edited. It was a group effort. And were you involved in that at all, Jaidvaita Maharaj? No, not at all. You were on Padyatra at the time, was it? Can't remember. Anyway, if I'd have told you that this was written by Srila Prabhupada, you would have accepted, isn't it? Is there any difference? It's the same thing. That's what parampara means. It's the same thing. It may not be that the gurus speak in exactly the same way. Just like the manner of speaking and writing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was considerably different to that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And our own Srila Prabhupada, his method of presentation was, again, very different in many ways to that of his own guru. But it's the same message. Several devotees told me that after reading this Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, this compilation on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that they were happily surprised to see that it's exactly the same. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings, his ideals, and those are our own Srila Prabhupada. But of course it is. Of course it's the same. There can't be anything different. It must be the same. So, continuing this purport. Without scriptural knowledge and practical realization of the personality of Godhead, a so-called guru will be unable to dissipate the doubts of his disciples and therefore unable to execute the function of bringing the sincere student back home, back to Godhead. It's a lot of important instruction packed into that sentence. Without scriptural knowledge and practical realization of the personality of Godhead, a so-called guru will be unable to dissipate the doubts of his disciples. Yeah, the guru is Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. We pray to the, or offer prayers to the guru who removes the darkness of ignorance by giving the light of scriptural knowledge with realizations so that the doubt of the disciple can be dissipated. Of course, if a disciple doesn't really want to have his doubts dissipated, then they won't be dissipated. If one doesn't really want to surrender to Krishna and makes a show of approaching a guru, then the doubts won't be dissipated. Because one doubts Krishna consciousness intrinsically. But if one has faith in guru and Krishna, then the path back to Godhead becomes very clear. This verse, by the way, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta, the verse that the reading here, this was, of course, quoted by Srila Prabhupada many times. And another verse which he quoted many times, Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Katita Hyata Prakashante Mahatmana. To one who has firm faith in the guru to the same level as in God, then all the imports of the Vedic literature are revealed. And there are many instances of that given in Vedic literature of devotees or servants of their guru who by their sincere service were rewarded with spiritual realization. So the function of the guru to bring the sincere student back to home, back to Godhead. He does that by giving knowledge. One should approach a guru, jignyasu shreya uttamam, one should inquire about what is my highest benefit. Just now, previous to this, it's been described how in the whole material world, even in the heavenly planets, one cannot get happiness. So one's shreya, one's benefit, uttama, highest benefit, one should inquire, what is the highest thing I can give? If we go asking for a cure for my backache, or common example given in India for a visa for America, but that doesn't work here because you're in America. So what is it here? What's the equivalent for a visa in America? There is no, this is it. This is the ultimate. Friends, we are in the best country in the world that people from all over the world want to come, and it's a mess. Is it not? This is not a scriptural statement. This is pratyaksha. You can see with your own eyes. So then we may think, let me go to the heavenly planets. But there also, as we have just heard, it's a mess. Although it is a more sophisticated mess even than America. But there also people are not happy. Therefore we should go to inquire, not how to cure my backache. For that, you can go to a doctor. Makes more sense than going to a guru, because the guru can give you the highest knowledge, because shabde pare cha nishnatam, he's completely absorbed or deeply bathed in the Vedic knowledge. That doesn't mean he has to know every verse. He may not even know any verses, but he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his servants. We have to serve him. And that is the complete knowledge. Even if one doesn't know all the details of Shastric knowledge, which is not possible. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that one should be able to repudiate, I'm paraphrasing, all the different philosophies before one dares to sit on the Vyasasan. But nowadays, who even knows all these philosophies? I don't think, who knows even what the names of them are, what to speak of what the philosophies are. As Srila Prabhupada himself showed that without dwelling on ancient philosophies which are no longer in their original forms extant in human society, Srila Prabhupada tackled the philosophical misconceptions that were prominent in the world at this time. There's not much point in convincing people in America or anywhere else that the ancient atheistic Sankhya philosophy is wrong, because they haven't heard of it and they're not affected by it directly. But it is important to convince them that what's being touted in the name of modern science, or so many gurus coming and cheating, democracy, what's going on, the so wonderful democracy, humanitarianism, humanism, all these. So Srila Prabhupada, he tackled the philosophical misconceptions which were prominent at that time and pointed out their defects, in many cases also found something is good there, yes, but what's the conclusion, how we can bring that to the fullest good, and showed everything in the light of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, and in this way was very convincing, and convinced his disciples to dedicate their lives to Krishna. And along the path, there may be so many obstacles that arise. So with reference to the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada, he coached his disciples. Coaching, it's a popular word nowadays. Coaching, trained was the word that Srila Prabhupada generally used. Trained them on the path back to Godhead. And the duty of his disciples in relation to their disciples is to do the same thing. It's the same thing. What Krishna did to Brahma, what Brahma did to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhvacharya, it's the same thing. It doesn't change because it's complete and perfect. It doesn't change, no need to change. Change means it becomes spoiled. Sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. So same thing. Simply the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have to repeat the same message. It may not be in exactly the same words. It won't be in exactly the same words because that would be imitation. But yatashrutam yatamati. As we have heard, according to our understanding, that is given by Krishna. Krishna within the heart gives intelligence. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha matah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So Krishna gives knowledge, and how it is understood by individuals, the same teachings, but it may be presented from various perspectives, different angles of vision. So the symptoms of the realized understanding of the Vedas and Krishna is upashamashrayam. In other words, the bona fide spiritual master is one who has retired from the glittering illusions of materialistic society, friendship, and love. Within the material world, one is certainly attracted to becoming a great intellectual, a powerful politician, the loving father of many beautiful and affectionate little children, a most honored welfare worker, or a highly admired and successful businessman. But none of these material positions have a permanent basis, nor do they afford permanent happiness, because they are all based on the primary misunderstanding by which one identifies himself with the material body. Now, in the verses previous to this, it's been described how no one can be happy in this material world, even on the heavenly planets. And in this paragraph is putting the same idea into the context of society, particularly as we experience it at the present time here within this world, that whatever apparently desirable situation there may be within our experience, and none of them are permanent, they cannot afford permanent happiness because they're based on the primary misunderstanding by which one identifies himself with the material body. Now, this is the first teaching that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, that we are not the body, and which the gurus do. Srila Prabhupada, again and again and again, spoke on this. We're not the body. We're eternal living beings. Identification with the body is the cause of all suffering. So the gurus have to teach this. Even before teaching about love of Krishna. The ultimate goal is to teach love of Krishna. But first we have to understand that we are not the body, we are eternal living beings. Without understanding this, we cannot even begin to understand who is Krishna. We have to understand that we are not what we think we are. We speak of God, but we have to know who He is in relationship to ourselves. First, we have to understand who we are. We are not the body, and that is elaborated in the next paragraph of this purport, giving examples that Srila Prabhupada gave. Anyone can readily experience that he is not the body but consciousness. Even if one loses a limb of his body, he does not cease to exist as a conscious entity. Ultimately, the entire body is lost at the time of death, and the living entity acquires a new body. The preliminary understanding of one's identity as consciousness is called self-realization. That's the beginning, self-realization, to understand I am a conscious living being, I'm not the body. But beyond this elementary knowledge is the elaborate subject matter of how the soul came to exist within the cycle of 8,400,000 material species of life. And if the living entity is not the material body but consciousness, he must ultimately have an original status on a higher platform. Punishment implies reward also. A powerful man who can punish is also able to reward. Therefore, the existence of punishment for the living being who is forced to take a miserable material body subject to birth, old age, disease, and death also logically implies the existence of a reward for him. So, unpacking that a little bit. We are suffering in material life, birth, death, old age, and disease. This is imposed upon us. This misery can be understood as a punishment. But that implies the existence of a better situation, a reward also. A higher living being who can punish can reward also. Although we mistakenly consider material sense gratification the ultimate reward of life, material happiness is actually another type of punishment. Important point, huh? Yesterday I was quoting Srila Prabhupada. Pleasure is a misconception. The idea of pleasure, I shall enjoy myself, it is a misconception. So material happiness is actually another type of punishment. You won the lottery, bad luck. How is it bad luck? Actually, we find in most cases, people who win the lottery, they become more miserable after doing so. Material happiness is actually another type of punishment. Why? Since it entices one to continue rotating in the cycle of birth and death. The idea that I shall be happy in this world causes us to be born and die again and again. So that the so-called happiness is what causes us to suffer. Then, Chandrasekhar Prabhu can give evidence of the next sentence. Is he there? He's over there at the back. In the Western countries, and other countries also, violent prisoners are placed in solitary confinement, whereas well-behaved prisoners are sometimes allowed to work in the warden's garden or library as a reward. But any position in prison is ultimately a punishment. Similarly, the existence of higher and lower categories of material sense gratification does not explain the living entity's ultimate reward, which must constitute the natural antithesis of the punishment of material existence. That actual reward, is an eternal life of bliss, and that's something for editors there, because it's a proposition is being given, and that actual reward, I thought it was a continuum of the proposition, but it's not. That actual reward is an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the kingdom of God, where there is no punishment. The kingdom of God is Vaikuntha, or unconditional pleasure. There is no punishment in the spiritual world. It is a place of ever-increasing pleasure. A bona fide spiritual master is one who is expert in all of these subject matters, not by his personal imagination or speculation, but by mature understanding of the authorized Vedic literatures, which are the literary manifestation of the causeless mercy of God. That Maharaj is speaking on. Anartho pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksajay lokasya janato vidvans chakre sattvata sanghitam. The Vedic literatures, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam, is composed by the causeless mercy of God to help people to come out, or specifically to give knowledge of the process of bhakti yoga, to help people come out of their meaningless and profitless situation. Continuing the purport here, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamau nivartante mrityu sangsara vartamani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Therefore, the spiritual master must awaken the disciple to the eternal existence of devotional service. This is a very important point, the eternal existence of devotional service. Devotional service is not exactly a means to an end, it is the means and the end. Here in the previous verses it's been described how by performing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices one can be elevated to the heavenly planets. So the means and the end are different. By performing austerities one can attain material or boons desire, may try to get out of material existence altogether, but the means and the end are different. But devotional service is eternal. In the very beginning stages, taking to devotional service, what one does in the beginning stage, one does in the perfect stage also. So in the beginning of devotional service, the devotee is induced to chant the holy names of Krishna, take remnants of food offered to Krishna, worship Krishna by offering food and articles of worship. And in the perfect stage, one does this also. The example may be given that in the early morning, a mother may enter her child's room to wake him up so that he can attend school. The child does not want to get up, but the loving mother forces him to get up and sends him off to school to be educated. Similarly, the bona fide spiritual master awakens the sleeping soul and sends him to the Gurukul, or the ashram of the spiritual master, where he can be trained in perfect knowledge. If the disciple has doubts about the value of Krishna consciousness, the bona fide spiritual master must dissipate those doubts by superior knowledge. One who himself doubts the authority of Krishna or Vedic knowledge cannot become a bona fide spiritual master. On the other hand, kiba bipra, kiba nyasi, shudra kenyanai, jai krishna tatta veta shai guru hai. Any human being from any social or economic status can become a bona fide spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and you'd think that what would be the verse quoted here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jari dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hoya taro idesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Only by the order and authority of the Supreme Lord can one can become a spiritual master, not by one's own so-called erudition. The duty of the bona fide guru is to connect the disciple to Krishna. A scholar or meditator has no potency to connect another living being with Krishna if that scholar or meditator himself is not connected with Krishna. Although many sports fans attend gymnastic competitions and applaud at the exhibition of different calisthenic feats. Is that the right pronunciation? Calisthenic? That's something to do with muscles, is it? Yeah? Different calisthenic feats. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not such a gymnastic spectator, and nor does he applaud the calisthenics exhibited by foolish persons in the name of yoga. Nor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead impressed by mediocre attempts at philosophical speculation, since the Lord has already given his own opinion in Bhagavad Gita, Shrinu Me Paramam Vachaha. The word of Krishna is Paramam Vachaha, the last word in knowledge. And Krishna says, Yajnyatva neha bhuyo nyaj gyatavyam avashishyate. When you know this knowledge, there shall remain nothing further to know, to be known. Krishna has also referred to his knowledge as Raja Vidya, the king of all knowledge. If one does not become a lover of Krishna, his connection with Krishna takes place indirectly through the illusory potency of the Lord. The idea that one can attract the Supreme Lord through mere gymnastics or foolish speculation on the absolute truth is certainly a product of Maya. One who is connected to Krishna through his external illusory potency can serve only as a material master to connect his so-called disciples to the same illusory energy. In other words, one may be a guru, but if he himself is in the material energy, he can connect with a different part of the material energy. But because people don't know what is actually spiritual, lokasya janatav, they don't know what is actually spiritual, because it's different, they think it's spiritual. Just like many people think seances and seeing ghosts, that's spiritual. Or feeling themselves to be one with nature is spiritual. Or being nice to others is spiritual. Or even people feel that loving their dog is spiritual. Isn't it? They think it's a spiritual. In one sense you could say it's true, because it's a spirit-to-spirit exchange, but it's negotiated via the material energy. By thinking, I am the loving protector of this dog, and this dog lovingly licks me. And the dog is completely in the consciousness of being a dog. So people don't know what is spiritual. Spiritual means to know I am a servant of, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So there may be gurus who even followers of the Vedic literature, they know so much how we're not the Aham Brahmasmi, I'm spiritual, the modes of material nature, how they're influencing us. But because they don't connect to Krishna, it may seem that they become liberated from the material energy, but they get released, but they're not really released. They're just on a long leash. And then patantiyad ho anarjita yushvadangra, because they fail to worship Krishna, that they have to come back to the material situation. On the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, mahatma nas tumang parata daivin prakriti maashritaha bhajantyanandamanaso gyatva bhuta adimavyayam. Those who are actually great souls have surrendered to the internal potency of the Lord and can similarly connect others to the internal pleasure-giving potencies. Mentioned here is pleasure-giving potency. This whole discussion of the guru means he's linking with the, or the pleasure-giving potency means that introduces us to that happiness which is not available anywhere within the material sphere. A Mahatma is described in Bhagavad Gita as follows. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. He knows me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. It is to such a spiritual master who has reached the mature understanding that Vasudeva is everything that one must surrender. According to Sri Narad Muni, Yo Vidvan Sa Gurur Harihi, such a great soul is to be considered the external manifestation of Krishna himself. Krishna states this also. This is also from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. One should know the acharya to be myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him to be an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if a spiritual master cannot destroy his disciples' doubts by superior knowledge, the disciple will gradually become despondent in spiritual life. Because a bogus guru cannot actually give Krishna to the disciple according to the principle of rasavarjam rasopyasya, the disciple will again become attracted to material happiness, not having achieved the bliss of Krishna's association. Such a weak disciple of a weak spiritual master will gradually become hopeless and discouraged in his attempt at self-realization, and will again become fascinated by the temptations of illusion, such as women, money, and so-called intellectuality based on speculation and imagination. The guru gives strength of the spiritual energy by which one can rise above the lower energy which binds us in this material world. That strength is given by not only by giving knowledge, but by the conviction of the guru manifested in personal life, by engaging by the guru's own faith in devotional service, that Jai Krishna Bhakti Koile Sharva Karma Krita Hoy, that by engaging the disciple in acts of pure devotional service, that everything that the disciple needs, his full benefit, his Shreya Uttamam, his highest benefit, will be achieved simply by engaging in pure devotional service. On the other hand, so-called gurus who engage their disciples, so-called disciples, in activities of this material world, trying to so-called help others on the material platform, or trying to gain some mystic siddhis, or trying to gain some name and fame within this material world for one's achievements, this is misleading. Does not bring the same result as engaging disciples in pure devotional service. Further symptoms of the bona fide spiritual master are given in the Upadesha Amrita as follows. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udaro pasta vegam etan vegan yo vishaheta dhira sarvam api mang prithivin sashishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urges to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated, Upashamashrayam krodha lobhadya vashi bhutam. A bona fide spiritual master cannot be under the control of ordinary anger, greed, and lust. Now, this was seen in the personality of Srila Prabhupada during the years that he kindly lent his association to us. There was never at any moment any trace of mundane lust, greed, anger, no such thing. It's completely on the spiritual platform, all the time. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one who has understood the futility of material existence can approach a bona fide spiritual master. So there's another answer to the question that was given yesterday. How do you know if you're ready for initiation? Well, in one sense, we're never really ready. Especially if we see, there's another question about where in Shastra is it stated about the initiation ceremony. Well, there's a lot in Hari Bhakti Vilas about gurus and disciples and initiation ceremonies. There's also listed the qualities of a bona fide disciple. None of us can make it to be a bona fide disciple, according to the qualities given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But this preliminary qualification, one who has understood the futility of material existence, can approach a bona fide spiritual master. You say, well, other people can do also. They can also go and ask for blessings so their children can pass the examination. They can also approach, but it's just like going to Vrindavan. Anyone can go to Vrindavan. How to get to Vrindavan? You could be in Vrindavan within 24 hours. If you decide right now and you've got enough money, look on the internet, find a flight, get to the airport, Charlotte to, it's a hub for some airline, right? So, American Airlines. So within, maybe they have a direct flight to Delhi. And so, if they don't, within two stops, you could be in Delhi. And then from there, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to Vrindavan. You can go there. But, of course, the desire to go to Vrindavan is very good. But real approaching Vrindavan is Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hove Tobe Hamaherabo Sri Vrindavan. Real going to Vrindavan is giving up. It's possible when the consciousness is purified by giving up the desire for sense gratification. Not such an easy thing, is it? An easy thing? No. No, it's not. But the beginning is to understand the futility of material existence and that we're bound in material existence by desires for material sense gratification. So one approaches a bona fide spiritual master on this basis, that I can understand that this material life is horrible. I need to get free. Help me. This chapter title, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. In the two previous verses, the futility of earthly and heavenly sense gratification has been described. Now, the natural conclusion is that one who has understood this should approach a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, one can go and try and find out by oneself how to get free from this. And if one is on the level of Buddha Dev, then one can become a Buddha and understand by trial and error how to get free. Of course, we don't recommend following the path of Buddha. And in Buddha Dharma, Buddhism, that's the word, Buddhism, they also have gurus to help. The idea is to help. So one requires help. So one should approach a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master broadcasts the sound vibration from the spiritual planets called Vaikuntha. It means the Vedic knowledge, especially that which is directly delineates knowledge of the spiritual world. Parastasmatu bhava no vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashati. Everything in this world is destroyed, but beyond this material cosmos, which is created and destroyed again and again, there is the spiritual world, which is never destroyed, always existing. So, the inhabitants of the spiritual planets, headed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, are certainly not deaf and dumb. They are in constant communication through unlimited transcendental bliss and knowledge. This, presumably, is a reference to the impersonalists, or the Buddhists, or the voidists, who think that the ultimate perfection is to become senseless. Buddha philosophy, that desire is the cause of suffering, then stop all desire. That means to stop all the activities of the senses. So they don't, classic Buddhism doesn't accept that there is any spiritual existence or spiritual world. But there is, and there are living beings there headed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who are not deaf and dumb. The bona fide spiritual master can transmit this sound vibration of bliss and knowledge to his disciple. Just as a radio broadcasts mundane news, the bona fide guru broadcasts the news from Vaikuntha. What's the news? What's the time? Krishna's out in the forest with the cows. It's the news. News from Vaikuntha. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Golokera Premadhan Harinama Sankirtan. The spiritual master also transmits to the disciple the holy name of Krishna, which is none different from Krishna himself. The bona fide guru informs his disciple that every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, but quantitatively different, and thus engages the disciple in the loving service of the Lord. Because the living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord and is part of him, there is an eternal loving relationship between them. And because the living entity is quantitatively different, that relationship is eternally one of service. In other words, Krishna is great, we are small, the small should serve the great. And what results? Savior Sevak Bhav, the feelings between he who is to be served and he who serves. It's a very big topic. It's the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. If you didn't get a Srimad Bhagavatam set yet, you can do so. There's a devotee here who's very enthusiastic. That's his name. Mahotsaha means very enthusiastic to sell you a Srimad Bhagavatam set. So if you didn't get one yet, you have to catch them. Or you can catch him better. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, even though one may have the good fortune to accept a bona fide, highly qualified guru, if one maintains a taste for fruitive activities or mental speculation, one's advancement will be checked. Very, very important topics. Just packed in. So much to discuss about all of this. But if a serious student surrenders to a bona fide spiritual master, there is absolutely no impediment to the transmission of perfect knowledge and bliss in the devotional service of the Lord. So very, very important statements. One may think there are so many obstacles in my devotional advancement. But if a serious student surrenders to a bona fide spiritual master, there is absolutely no impediment to the transmission of perfect knowledge and bliss in the devotional service of the Lord. I'll finish there because we're in the world of time. It takes a lot of time to read all these books. Take the time out in our busy lives to do so. Now it is time to thank all the devotees for making this festival possible. The main thing in making a festival possible is that people have to come, and otherwise, however much planning and organization, it won't happen. So thank you to all of you for making this short festival possible. And especially to Dvaita Maharaj for sharing his realizations, his association with us. To all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who have kindly come. I was going to thank Vatsal Prabhu, but he already danced off somewhere else. Kirtans, huh? Right. It's blissful kirtans. Praveen Govinda Prabhu? Where is he? Is he here? He's actually here. Comes out of the kitchen. Can hear in the kitchen now. I must say, I've never seen you so blissful as over this weekend. There you go. Devotional service works. Running around organizing with a blissful smile on his face all the time. Didn't have time to shave. Good. And to who's that in the kitchen? Abhiram Sakha Prabhu with his better half supervising the most important part of the festival. Even if everything else is a disaster, if the prasadam's good,
it's okay. Was the prasadam good? No. Prasadam wasn't good. Was it? It wasn't good, the prasadam. It was, to use an American phrase, awesome. I didn't pronounce it properly. Oh, how do you say it? I don't. Awesome. And I'm like you, I'm a Brit, and I didn't live here long enough to imbibe.
You pronounced it properly.
I did. Awesome. So they popped out of the kitchen for a few seconds. It's a team, that's true. It's always a team. It's always teamwork. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. We learn from Kalyapani Prabhu. I heard that before. I never knew it was from Manu. I must have read Manu, gone through it a few times. Somehow I missed that. That's why it's important to read the books again and again and again. And then you'll find, when you're reading, you find, oh, you're reading for the 10th time. Oh, what's that? Oh, I didn't see that before. It's always fresh. Nitya Nutan. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nitya Nutan. It's always fresh. So if you got the Srimad Bhagavatam set and didn't get a Chaitanya Charitamrita set, Mahotsav Prabhu is here also. One point about this festival is we often hear, especially here in America and England, about the Indian devotees and the non-Indian devotees, and East is East and West is West, and there the twain shall meet, especially in ISKCON, that they don't mix. But here, there's no Indian, there are plenty of Indian devotees. It's about half and half, maybe, isn't it? Indian, non-Indian, but there's no such consciousness, is there? It's all, everyone's here chanting Hare Krishna. So that's good, isn't it? So that's how to bridge the Indian, non-Indian gulf. Chant Hare Krishna together, and hear and chant together, and serve idlis and chapatis as well as pasta. That's often a major problem. It's the food. It's all prasadam problem. Hare Krishna. Old and young. Right? We got the old men leading most fired up kirtans. Old and young. It's for everyone. The kids, children are there also. See how happy he looks. What are you going to do now? He's going to announce something? Okay, announce away. I'm finished for now. Oh, yeah, you already announced that. Oh, you say. You please say.